We will be continuing our study today in the book of Matthew. Our study, of course, being apologetics, but we go to the book of Matthew, chapter 28 today. Verse 16 will be our starting point. Today we're going to talk about the mission of the church, and I'd intended, and I don't know, I may have even told you last Sunday that this week was going to be, the message was going to be about baptism. Well, every once in a while, and actually it's probably more regular than not, I'll make my plans. And as you study, God says, no, this is the way I want you to go. And one of these days, I'm going to learn to be able to sense that a little quicker, okay? But we're not making it to baptism this week. We're going to discuss the mission of the church and, Lord willing, do baptism next week, okay? So would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, the mission of the Lord's church, Matthew 28, beginning in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we praise you for the privilege of looking into your word today. And we pray, Lord, that you'd open our eyes that we may see, open our ears that we may hear, open our hearts, Lord, that we may respond to your word. I pray that you'll move in a mighty way among us today. Convict of sin, convict of error, and Lord, draw us to you, that through this study we may be made better servants, more mature servants, to bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today, we're going to talk about what we're here for. I mean, we come every Sunday. Well, a lot of you come every Sunday. But why? Why? Is this all there is? Is this what, you know, this one worship service a week, is this what church is about? And the answer is no. To understand the mission or the purpose of the church today, the first thing you have to understand is the authority. And Jesus said in verse 18, all authority has been given to who? No. All authority has been given to who? Jesus. Absolutely. All means complete, absolute, entire. That word authority means the ruling authority, the right to rule, the power, the ability to rule. Jesus has been given the absolute ruling authority over His church. Now, I say that because, first of all, you've heard such words as church authority. Have you ever heard that word, church authority? No such thing. Have you ever heard the word, the phrase, pastoral authority? No such thing. Even the deacons don't have any authority. And believe it or not, there are some people who think, well, it's the deacon's job to run the church. No, it's not. Not the preacher's job. Not the Sunday school teacher's job. First thing I want you to get is the authority in today's church is Jesus Christ. All authority, the entire authority of the New Testament church has been given to Jesus, and He did not give that authority to anyone. Period. It's all His. Okay? The church belongs to Jesus, therefore He has the right to do with it as He sees fit. Okay? And included in that right is Jesus has the right to command you and to command me. Right? He has the right to tell me to do anything he wants me to do. Right? And you know what's expected of me? What's required of me? Obedience. Period. Okay? Absolute obedience. If Jesus says go, I'm to go. If Jesus says stay, I'm to stay. You see, most people think churches is this democratic body and we have these business meetings and we vote, and that's not what church is, okay? As a matter of fact, that democratic process has come out. It's an America thing, and not to bust anybody's bubble, but days of the Bible, the churches were elder-led and elder and apostle-led. But we get to thinking, because of the way that we've set up church today, that I'm supposed to vote, and whatever I feel like I want the direction of the church to be, that's what I'm going to vote for. And I'm going to teach my children to vote and to express their opinion. But listen, I love you, but your opinion doesn't matter. Nor does mine. And I know that's against everything that churches are preaching and teaching today. You know, it's all about you. But it's not. It's not. Your role in the New Testament church is obedience. Period. End of conversation. And see, that's what most people, they don't get today. And as a matter of fact, that's not taught in our culture today. I recall the days of basic training when I was in the Air Force, and I went to San Antonio for a 6-week vacation. It was wonderful. You know what I learned in basic training? I learned how to make hospital corners on my bunk. And let me tell you, if my hospital corners were not good, the guy that we call the drill instructor, he expressed his displeasure very well. I learned to fold my t-shirts in 6-inch squares. I learned to fold my underwear in 6-inch squares. I learned that everything about my locker and my bed and it was expected to be done this way and no other way. And you know what I learned? I learned that I didn't say, I don't want to. Because my drill instructor really didn't care whether I wanted to or not. I never expressed my opinion. I never expressed that perhaps we could do this another way. That would be more enjoyable for everyone. What I did learn was absolute obedience. They say do it this way, that's the way you do it. You see, that's the problem in our culture today. Nobody teaches that anymore. That's why when a police officer pulls someone over on the side of the road, he says, get out of the car. And some smart aleck kid says, I don't have to. Listen, if a police officer ever pulls you over and says, get out of the car, get out of the car, say, yes, sir. Okay? Do what the man says. He's there for your safety and protection. And I'm going to tell you something. When he pulls me over, if he pulls me over, it's not like I get pulled over a lot, okay? I really don't. But if he pulls me over, what he's going to hear from me is, yes, sir. If he says, stay in the car, yes, sir. If he says, Mr. Hambrick, you were going 10 miles above the speed limit. It's not my job to argue with him at this point. It's not my job to say, no, I was going 9 miles above the speed limit. Because everybody knows they'll give you 9, but if you know, no. He's the authority, right? Yes, sir. Mr. Hamburg, I'm going to give you a ticket today. Yes, sir. You're the authority. And I mean, just common sense tells you the man has a gun. He's the authority. Right? But besides that, he's been given governmental authority. The state, the county, the city has given him the authority to command the situation when he pulls me over. And so I respond to him. Listen, God has said, Jesus, you are the head of the church. You have absolute ultimate authority. And it's my job as a child of God to say, yes, sir, Jesus, if you want me to go, I'll go. If you want me to stay, I'll stay. If your word says do it, I'll do it. If it says don't do it, I don't do it. That's the way that's presented in Scripture. When Jesus says, I'm the authority. I have the right to tell you what to do. You say, well, what gives Jesus that right? Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. He's talking to the elders of the church that day. To shepherd the church of God. And here's what I want you to read with me. Which he purchased with his own blood. Let's do that one more time. Which he purchased with his own blood. Why does he have that right? Because he bought it with his blood. Okay? He has earned that right. You may be a good giver. Okay? But that doesn't make you any more powerful in the church. You may be a great servant. That doesn't give you any more influence in the church or right to get your way. And you may be a pastor, teacher, leader, and deacon, whatever. But the church belongs to Jesus and He has the right to rule it. Now, with that in mind, Jesus can tell me anything He wants me to do. Can we agree? And when I say me, I'm talking about us. Okay, you get that, right? Jesus can tell you to do anything that He wants you to do. He has that right. Amen? Amen. And your job is what? Obedience. Obedience. Now we've got that. Let's move on. What has He said to do? He said, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Actually, He says, go therefore. And that word therefore, it literally means accordingly. And the idea is Jesus says, because I have all authority, because I have the right to tell you what to do, now I'm going to tell you what to do, here's what you do. Okay? And that direction, that command is to go. We call it the Great Commission. But do we treat it as the Great Commission? Let's give it another name. The Great Command. Okay? This is what Jesus says you're to do. It's what Jesus says I'm to do. That I'm to go. And go with an attitude. The attitude of going. That word go is a Jewish idiom for as you go through your daily activities. It carries the idea you're commanded to go. But listen, God's not going to send everybody Victory Baptist Church over to Africa or Saudi Arabia or somewhere else. God has you right here. So the idea for you and where you are most in this congregation is as you go. And as you go means as you live. From day to day, as you go about your daily business, you make disciples. That word disciple, it means to be a student or a learner. And so it is the church's mission, your mission, my mission, to develop people into students of Jesus Christ. And there's where the problem is in the church today, because we've forgotten what we're here for. We've lost sight of what we're here for. You see, the church is not about a worship service two or three times a week. This is not church. This is worship. Okay? Our mission is to make disciples. And here's what we've got to ask. What disciples are you making? Who in your life right now are you making a disciple? You want to make it. The idea is teaching somebody how to love and follow Jesus. Right? Who have you got in your life right now that you're making a disciple? Um, would be most people's answer. Listen, that's not a good answer. Jesus has the authority. He's commanded you, make disciples. Make people into learners of Jesus Christ. Teach them how to love Jesus Christ. You know, we talk about being a mission-minded church. And the idea behind mission-minded church is that we support missionaries. No, the idea behind a mission-minded church is that you and I have a mission. And we're reminded of it every day. And that mission is to make disciples. You say, Brother Doug, I get what you're saying, but I don't really understand how. I'm glad you asked. How do you make disciples? You start where you are. You start at home. As a parent, it is your job. And let me get everybody's attention. It is your job to teach your kids how to love Jesus. Okay? That is your job as a parent. It's not your job to ensure they get into college. It's not your job to ensure they play baseball, football, basketball, soccer. It's your job to teach them how to love Jesus. Okay? Now, am I saying college is bad? No. No. Or is sports bad? No. You're looking at, I like to watch ball games and such as that. But listen, that's not my primary focus in life. Nor can it be your primary focus for parenting. We've got to get our kids back in church. Okay? We've got, and the only ones that can do that are the parents. Be a parent. Let me say that one more time, so just so that we don't lose that. Be a parent. Stop giving your kids choices. I don't want to go to church today. Well, too bad. I don't want to go to Sunday school. Well, too bad. You see, the problem with today's parents is we don't want to be unpopular as parents and say, make our kids do something they don't want to do. Let me tell you something. God has set up this wonderful system. It's called parent-child. It is the parent's job to tell the child what to do. Amen. Tell them what to do. Listen, I say this lovingly. And the reason I say it is because so often, well, my kids don't want to go. And I know you think, well, you know, Brother Doug, you're just out of touch. Your kids are all grown. Let me tell you something. Yes, my kids are grown. But my heart's desire for my children is that they love Jesus. Amen. That's it. And I will still tell them, you'd never guess that, would you? I try to be a hands-off dad at this point. But I'll still tell them, you don't need to do that. Don't need to do that. Why? Because I'm still the daddy and I can.
Amen.
And I think it's even still expected of me. Be parent. And I'm not saying lord it over your children. You're going to church today. That's actually what I was raised with. You know? Dad, I don't want to go. Do what? I'm sorry, I don't remember giving you that option, son. If we discuss this anymore, you're not going to like this conversation. Yeah. Sometimes you have to be firm. But you also have to teach them to love Jesus. If you just stand over them with a rod and whack them in the head all the time, that's not teaching them to love Jesus. All right? Yes. Instruct them. Guide them. Even tell them, yes, we're going to church today. Yes, we're going to Bible study. But set the example for them as parents. If church is not important to the parent, do not expect it to be important to your children. Okay? Because they will listen to what you say, but they will mimic what you do. You've got to set, they need to see what loving Jesus looks like. And do not depend on youth ministry to instill in your child how to love Jesus. It's a help. But you're the one that's with them every day and every night. Yes, we can help, and I'm not discrediting youth ministries of churches, but do not think that it's the youth ministry's job to take your place as the parent. Don't do it. Teach them how to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's where you start. Say, Brother Doug, I don't have kids. Wait, your blessing's coming. But if you don't have kids yet, okay? Husbands, teach your wife how to love Jesus. Wives, teach your husbands how to love Jesus. It starts in the home. It starts with you and with me. And our conduct in the people closest to our lives has got to say, I love Jesus and I want you to love Jesus too. Okay? Second way to make disciples, we got to safeguard the saints. Now let me say this with make a qualifying statement before I say what I'm about to say, okay? And I'm going to preach the truth in love. Qualifying statement. There are those who have been church members for 20 or 30 years who for some reason or another start laying out of church and start to, you know, just falling by the wayside. And first they don't come on Sunday night, then they don't come on Wednesday night, then they skip Sunday school on Sunday morning. You just see them for worship service on Sunday morning, and first thing you know, they're here twice a month, then once a month, then they fall off the planet. And you say, what happened? And if somebody approaches them, they'll say, well, we missed you. What's up? And they'll invariably say, well, I've been a member of that church for 30 years, and you know, I hadn't been there in a month, and nobody called me. I will grant you, we should call you. But do not blame your unfaithfulness on the church. Okay? Do not attack the church because you decided one day that God wasn't important enough to go anymore. All right? That's not okay. However, that's my qualifying statement. All right? However, there are those who are newly saved, new church members, who come for a period of time and they drop out and they never get a call or a visit, and that's not acceptable either. That's not making disciples, okay? If somebody's new to the church and you hadn't seen them in a while, call them. Call them. Say, man, I missed you. It'll bless their hearts, right? And it'll remind them, hey, we want you here. You say, well, Brother Doug. Shouldn't they know they're expected to come? Yeah, the 20-year member should know by now he's expected to come. But the new guy don't know anything. Okay? You see, the new guy needs to hear, hey, we need you there. We need you involved in Sunday school. Sunday school, a lot of people don't do Sunday school and listen, I love you and I'm going to tell you this in love. You need it. You need that Bible study time. I don't care about the numbers. I care about the individuals. Right? And if all you're getting is just 30 minutes of preaching a week, that's not enough. And you need some soul food. And I'm not talking fried either. I'm talking about Bible. You need more. And we as church members have got to be more aware, especially of new members, that it's our job to put our arms around them because they don't know what we know. I've discovered, you know, there's a lot of things about church I take for granted. I've been involved in church, well, all my life, saved when I was 8 years old. I know when it's time to stand up. I know when it's time to sit down. I know that after we've sung a few songs and Dale says, stand up, you know what that means? That means we're fixing to take the offering. I know when the preacher's preaching and he says in conclusion, it means it's going to be a while longer. I know what the invitation's for. I've been in church all my life. But you know what? There's a lot of people who don't know. I've had people ask me, what's that invitation for anyway? I said, well, that's where you come and make your commitments to God. Oh, well, I didn't know what you were supposed to do there. That's it. And there are a lot of people who won't come to Sunday school because they've never been invited. We have people inside these walls who need to be invited to Sunday school. And listen, we're fixing to turn some folks loose on you if you're not coming to Sunday school. I love you, right? We've got this little plan in progress that you're probably going to be getting contacted if you're not in a Sunday school class. And when they do, don't let it upset you. They're just showing they care about you. They care about you, and they want you to be in their Bible study. You see, so many out there don't know how to live a Christian life. They don't know how to get involved in church. They don't know what class to go to. They don't know how to pray and how to study their Bible. They need people to come beside them, put their arm around them, and say, listen, I'm here to help you. That's what we're not real good at doing. Okay? Who's your disciple? Who are you discipling? You know, the command wasn't get them saved. The command was make disciples. And listen, we want to get them saved. Don't get me wrong. But we don't want to get them and forget them. We want to get them and make them a disciple. Amen. See? That's our job. That's our command. We've got to safeguard the saints. We've got to win the world. We've got to change our attitude. Let me ask you, when's the last time you invited someone to church and you say, oh, I did 2 weeks ago. Whoa, let me rephrase. When's the last time you looked at somebody and said, you know, you should come and visit us at Victory sometime? And they say, okay, maybe I will. And you leave the conversation there. Don't leave it there. Okay? When you say, I would love for you to come and first of all, be my guest at Victory. They say, okay, maybe one of these days, look at them and say, how about this Sunday? I'll meet you at the front door. Because I'll tell you, one of these days will never come. They need a little help. Okay? Say, Brother Doug, that's pushy. Exactly. You think the Apostle Paul wasn't pushy? He was. He was pushy. You think Jesus wasn't pushy? He was. He was pushy. Well, Brother Doug, I don't want to upset anybody's apple cart. Listen, their apple cart's going to be upset when they hit hell. Amen. Let's push them right now. And don't get me wrong. Push them in a loving way. But don't let them get away with maybe one of these days. I'd rather somebody say, nah, not interested, than tell me one of these days. Hadn't you? When they say that, ask them. Tell them, I'll meet you at the front door 9:15 this Sunday morning. Okay? You be there. And if they don't show up, go see them again. Say, man, I waited on you. Where were you? We've got to have that mentality of every day that we live, we're looking for that opportunity to make disciples and build the kingdom of God. Every day is an opportunity. Every day. You see, there are no limits. There are no limits to what God has called us to do. He said, go to every nation. That word nation is ethnos. It means every race, every people group, every part of the earth. Whites, blacks, Europeans, Arabs, Jews, and anybody else you want to put in there. It applies to everyone, everywhere. We've got to have this kind of vision of making disciples. That there's no one off limits. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus told his apostles, said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That's his request. Be my witness. And it starts with a local vision. Local vision right here at home. We're in Russellville, Arkansas. Yeah, and back in Acts chapter 1 and 8, it said, you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. Russellville is our Jerusalem. Who are you witnessing to? Who are you making disciples of? What disciple do you have? Right here locally. Okay? So many say, well, I don't know. One of the greatest joys as a pastor is to watch people in the church grow. You don't know what it does to this pastor to see somebody teach their first Sunday school class. You don't know what it does to this pastor to see somebody stand up and sing their first special. And I mean that in a good way. You want it me, and I'm almost afraid to say this, but it means more to me to see people grow than to see the numbers grow. You know, this is not about numbers. It's about people. Now, the numbers will reflect the people, and I get all that, but I want you to understand how important our mission is. It's people. We've got to make disciples. Now, I look at this church, and oh, blood, I want to brag, we're so blessed. But I look and I think of the future. Where's this going to be 20 years from now? This church, 20 years from now, can be either stronger or it can be dead. And that's based upon the disciples that we make today. Okay? That's how important this is. And that's why this grabbed a hold of me so hard. I look around Victory and I see so much potential. We've got to make disciples. Growing people. We've got to have a national vision. A vision. He said, you should be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. That's like our United States. We've got to have a vision that reaches beyond Russellville. Okay? Brother Ken reminds me of that pretty frequently. And he talks about putting our commercials in Louisiana and other states. And the first thought is, well, why we're not in other states? Yes, we are. If we're not, we should be. Pointing people to Jesus. Supporting missionaries. Oh, listen, you know, again, God hasn't called me to be a missionary up north. He may not have called you to be a missionary up north, but He's called some missionary up north. That's why it's so important that we encourage and support the missionaries. It's making disciples. We've also got to have a world vision. We've got to see the world as an opportunity. Jesus told His disciples, you'd be witness to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I look back at Samaria, I think, you know, Judea was fine, but that's where, when Jesus said Samaria, that would have been the place you didn't want to go. So no self-respecting Jew wanted to spend time in Samaria. No? Uh-uh. Do you know what that reminds me? That reminds me that we're supposed to go even to places we don't want to go. There's nowhere off limits to making disciples. And listen, some of this message may sound hard. I don't mean it to be. I mean it to sound vital. Our future depends on the disciples that we're making today. And when we become complacent and satisfied where we are, the future looks bleak. But when you and I have this church on a mission mentality, looking every day, making disciples of Jesus Christ, starting in our homes, spreading outside our homes, state, national, even worldwide. When we have that vision, my friends, the future looks bright. Jesus has the right to tell us what to do. And He said, go make disciples. Question is, will we do it? Okay? Parents, are you going to do it? Church members, teachers, are you going to do it? Today's the day to change course. Say, you know what? There is more to church than just showing up on Sunday. We're here to make disciples. I'm going to make disciples. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me give you the first step of discipleship. First step of discipleship is salvation. Okay? That means accepting, calling upon Jesus Christ, making Him your Savior. Listen, you're going to leave this earth one way or another. Right? You're going to die in all probability. My question to you is, where are you going to spend eternity? Heaven or hell? One of two choices. Jesus said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you call upon Jesus Christ today, you'll be saved. That's the first step. First step of discipleship. Maybe you're here today and you've taken that first step. You called upon Jesus Christ to be your Savior, but you've never followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. Here's what I'm not going to preach next Sunday's message, but I want you to understand this. Following the Lord's baptism is your public statement of who you belong to. Until you've been baptized, you've never gone public with your faith. Right? Maybe you need to come for baptism this morning. Maybe you need to come for rededication. Maybe you need to come and pray for your kids. Maybe you need to come just because God says, I want to spend time with you at the altar. Whatever your spiritual need is this morning, will you respond? Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word that reminds us of why we're here. Lord, we're not here to enjoy services. We're not here to show up on Sunday. We're here to make disciples. Help us to have that mentality every day that we live, putting our arms around people, encouraging them, inviting them, sharing the plan of salvation. That, Lord, we become individual missionaries right here in Russellville, Arkansas, leading people to You and teaching them all Your commands. I pray, Lord, now that this invitation, that we take seriously this command that You've given us and that we respond accordingly. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.